Monday, the 21st of October, Yud Zayin Cheshvan, Rabbi Dan Roth, The Fascinating World of Hilchus Brochus.
Good morning, everybody. It's a big joy to be here. Although I left London over 20 years ago, these are where my childhood memories are. Long Shabbos afternoons in this park, PPA. So it's a big simcha to be back, to be able to give back something to the community in which I was raised and have a lot of hakaras hatov to. A big yishakar to Dudi for putting together today's presentation, and especially for his son, Tzuli, for introducing him to Torah Live. You can keep the lights on, Dudi, for a minute. A few people have been asking me what exactly is Torah Live. So in one sentence, Torah Live produces high-quality multimedia material on a variety of different halachas, mitzvahs, hashkofa, midos, tevos. Just 45 seconds just to show you some of the quality of the work. This is from our tefillin presentation. It's one of seven videos. I'll just show you 45 seconds.
Before looking at how the tefillin is made and how to perform this beautiful mitzvah, let's familiarize ourselves with the various parts of the tefillin. Every set of tefillin contains two parts, one which is worn on the hand, known as the shalyad, and one which is worn on the head, known as the shalrosh. The boxes of the tefillin, without the straps and the scroll inside, are referred to as batim, houses, or bayit in the singular, and consist of three parts, the ketiza, which is the box in the middle, the titurah, which is the square base on which this box sits, and the ma'arata, which means passageway, and refers to the small area that sticks out of the square titurah. The ma'arata contains a hollow passageway running through its center to allow the strap to pass.
I know, you get the idea. What? Watch this all online for free at the moment on torahlive.com. While we're building a new site, all the material is available, so enjoy it. Let me know what you think. What was your name?
Graham.
Graham, nice to meet you. Good morning.
Very nice. Just forget the backing music.
What?
For older people.
Older people? Okay, fine. The ideal person I have in mind is about Shuvah, somebody who's in his 20s, young professional, overwhelmed by the huge body of law that there is to take in, and I'm making material for him. But having said that, it's being used from 8-year-old kids to 80-year-old people, and from people, and everyone in between. So it's whatever. You see, it's being used over 300 schools, shuls, kibbutz organizations around the world, Baruch Hashem. And yeah, that's half of what Torah Live does, but what we're going to be doing today is the other half, and that is material that teachers, mechanchim, use as they are teaching. I'm not on the screen. It's software, they get the graphics, they get the teacher's manual, and that's what we're going to be doing today. The fascinating world of Hilchus Brachos, okay? Each of these menus has subheadings. So within Brachos Shona you have, let's say, Hamoitzi. Within Hamoitzi you have to make Hamoitzi. There's about 8 hours of material in this Brachos presentation. So if we start now, we'll be finished at 5, Dudi, as we said, 5. Don't worry, we'll be out of here before you know it. Just going to be giving you a sample of Hilchus Brachos. Okay. So the first thing to point out is that Hilchus Brachos is unique in the fact that it is the only area of halacha that the Gemara itself stresses the importance of being familiar with the laws. Right? We don't find the Gemara mentioning go and learn Hilchus Shabbos, other halachas, but the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hei says, right, Yelech Etzel Chochem, if you're not sure, go and learn Hilchus Brachos. And the Ritva says in his Hakdama to Maseches Brachos that Hilchus Brachos is the first area that a person should both learn and teach. So how fitting that the first Torah Live presentations of the Torah is going to be on Hilchus Brachos. And the need to be familiar with the laws of Brachos is particularly important in our day and age for several reasons. First of all, with imports and exports, the whole world is opening up to us. It used to be you grew up in a little shtetl and you were exposed to those fruits or plants that grew locally, right? But nowadays, the whole world is your oyster. Have you ever heard of a bushikun? Not sure anybody heard that. What bracha you make on that? Well, exotic fruit, right? Another reason why today, more than ever, it's important to be familiar with the laws of brachos is that as the food industry becomes more complex, things which used to be very straightforward are now not so posh. Everybody knows that, what do they call it here? They don't call it French fries here, right? Chips?
Chips.
I'm mad American, what can I do? French fries, chips, are made from, and are which bracha? Adon. But did you know nowadays they're mixing in some wheat flour to give it some extra crisps, some extra taste, and therefore you're suddenly faced with a fascinating ikav tofel bracha. It used to be very straightforward, it's now not so simple anymore. Who knows what's next? Kraft food companies working on incorporating nanotechnology into their products to produce interactive foods and beverages. I kid you not, okay, this is a quote from their company magazine. These products will be customized to fit the tastes and needs of consumers at an individual level. Possible products include drinks that change colors and flavors to foods that can recognize and adjust to consumers' allergies and nutritional needs. Mind boggles, right? Someone looks pretty shocked over here. Right, it used to be, you saw how, another reason is because we used to live amongst nature. There was an agricultural society. We saw firsthand how things grew. You didn't have to guess if an avocado was a bepi or ate a bepi adama. For years I was always confused, right? Because you went into your garden, you saw one of these things. You knew it grew on a tree. But another reason is because we're so distanced, we're so out of touch with how things grow. Most of us believe that things grow on supermarket shelves. And that allowed the BBC to get away with this clip. This is from the BBC in 1957. And I want you, the audience, to guess what day of the year was this screen?
This year has taken everyone by surprise. Here, in the Ticino, on the borders of Switzerland and Italy, the slopes overlooking Lake Lugano have already burst into flowers, at least a fortnight earlier than usual. But what, you may ask, has the early and welcome arrival of bees and blossom to do with food? Well, it's simply that the past winter, one of the mildest in living memory, has had its effect in other ways as well. Most important of all, it's resulted in an exceptionally heavy spaghetti crop. The last 2 weeks of March are an anxious time for the spaghetti farm.
That's very well, excellent. Thousands of people, I'm happy you realise that. I've given this presentation to audiences and they're sitting like, what's so funny, they really fell for it. Right, April Fool's Day, there's no such thing as a spaghetti tree. The BBC painstakingly put every single thread of spaghetti on the tree. How could the BBC get away with that? Because we have no idea how things grow. As I said, we're so out of touch. And for all these reasons, it's extra important nowadays in our generation to make sure we are familiar with Hilchos Brachos. And all these factors have affected not only our ability to know which brachos to make, but also, just as importantly, they've affected our ability to be able to make brachos with real kavanah, with real feeling. Imagine that you were a farmer, and you had a whole field, a whole crop full of oranges, and every day you walked out, you opened your window, and you looked onto your orchard, and you wondered, will today be the day that it will rain too much and destroy my crop? Will today be the day that the sun will shine too hard? Will it snow? For months, every day, you felt so tolerant in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you realized that He is the source of everything. And finally, imagine, close your eyes and imagine, after months of waiting nervously, you finally picked that first orange. Imagine you holding it in your hands and the bracha that you would make. Imagine the feeling when you said, Baruch Atah, you'd feel it be so clear to you that you are Mekor HaBracha, Hashem Adon HaKol, Balak Yechiz Kulam. You wouldn't have to go to a Musa Shmuz to be able to make that bracha. You'd feel so clearly that you really, really had such gratitude to Hashem. But that has been taken away from us, and we have to be mechazik ourselves to know which brachas to make, and also to make the brachas with the right kavanah. So that's what this presentation does, tries to achieve. In making a blessing, there's a whole section, not going to have time to go through it today, but Zohar and other Mayim Akumis on making brachas with concentration. I'll just show you one clip that might help you make a bracha, that might help you have extra kavanah for the words melech. based on the chinuch that says that Melech HaOlam means not only did God create the world, but he brings together, unifies all the different resources in the world to make that orange. Price, who can guess who that child was?
Yours.
My pay for actors and you can use cheap labor, free tour like this for you. Okay, fine, so...
Child labor.
What? He doesn't know about it, so it's okay. Okay, fine. So, in the short time we have today, I decided to pick my favorite part, the most juicy area of Hilchos Brachos that will stump even a Brachos connoisseur, and that is Ikar V'Tofel. Ikar V'Tofel. And I do want to just pause a moment to thank all the people who so kindly donated to the production of this presentation. We have some of them here in our audience today. Graham Calvert, Alan and Yvette Goldberg, Philip and Susie Goldberg, Jake and DeVoe Greenberg, Pete and Janice Sugarman, Ben and Natalie Rosenfelder, Daniel and Sharon Green, Daniel Lines, Brun Safety, Danny and Tova Fluss, Beryl and Tammy Morris. Thank you all for making this presentation possible. Right? So we're going to be looking at Ikar V'Tofel. And these are some of the cases. The idea is that the teacher would give the mouse to the kids and they can actually pick real cases. As he sees Ikar V'Tofel, although the Gemara makes it very straightforward, right? The Gemara tells us one simple rule. And the Gemara says, Kol shu ikar v'imay tefeila, anytime you have a main food, ikar, what we call ikar, and with that main food you have a tefeila, a secondary food, the rule is, mevarech ala ikar upoiter es hatefeila. You make one blessing on the ikar, and that's it. It automatically covers the secondary food. Straightforward, right? But how do we apply it to all these cases? When you have cereal mixed with the raisins and the all bran, or you have an onion ring, or the famous English shepherd's pie, right? A salad with many different ingredients, lasagna with all the layers, chicken salad with some croutons, mezonos, you have a adomi, you have a shahako. As you see, what seems a very straightforward rule isn't all that straightforward to apply to real cases. So, the best way I find to teach this rule is to present you with two cases. Both of them are found in Shulchan Aruch, in the same simmons, Beish Beis. And they seem to be a stira. And I'm going to present you with a stira, and I want to see if you can work it out. And believe me, I promise, if you manage to crack this puzzle open and work out why it's not a stira, you will have opened for yourself the whole fascinating world of Ikar V'Tofel. You ready? Case number one. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you take some wine, which is Boi Pri Ha Goffin, and you mix with it some spices, some honey. What bracha do you make? Boi Pri Ha Goffin. If the week of Harsh, just stop looking now, it gets even uglier when you start mixing the spices in. My friend told me I should make a bracha in MS on this concoction. But, right, you say Boi Pri Ha Goffin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, even if, listen to this, even if there's more of the other ingredients, there's more spices, there's more honey, in ratio of a portion, I warned you. For those people at home, not. Okay, fine. So, even if all the other ingredients, the honey and the spices, are the majority over the wine, right, the shahakol is the majority over the wine, what bracha do you make, still? Boi Pri Ha Goffin, okay? So Boi Pri Ha Goffin wins, even if it's the minority. It's case number one, very straightforward. The same simon, the same sif, this time in the Ramah, and the case goes like this. Again, we take our wine, which is Boi Pri Ha Goffin, and this time we're going to mix it into it some soft drinks. Okay, the Gemara's case, I believe is beer. Clearly their beer was different than our beer, it wouldn't be very tasty. But let's say you mix in like soft apple juice or whatever, some soft drink. Okay, so over here, what bracha do you make? Shahakol, anybody else? Agofen? Mama Bloom? Says the Ma, you go after the majority. If there's more wine, you make Agofen, like you said. If there's more of the soft drink, you make a shahakol. Blatant steer again. Case number one, we took our agofen, we mixed it with other ingredients, the halacha was, agofen wins out, doesn't make a difference what's the majority, agofen always wins the day. Case number two, we take same wine, same agofen, we mix it with same bracha shahakol. This time, the Ramah says, you go after the majority. Like, are you to take, 1 second, please, everybody take 10, 20 seconds to work this out. I'm telling you, this will open up for you the whole world of Ikar V'Tofel, and free DVD, Torah Live DVD for those who crack it. Hands up when you got it. Okay, let's give everyone a chance to think. Everyone came with a question first. Graham, question's good? Okay, yes,
Robert Bloom. Do you think the wine has been destroyed?
What?
More risky to wine, you've destroyed the wine. So no matter the quantity, the wine is destroyed. So on the eye.
Okay, but in the second case?
In the case where you just add things and destroy the wine.
Oh, it was a joke. The point is that they bring out, that they add, the honey adds to the wine somehow.
Still wine with honey, whiskey with wine, it's destroyed wine.
Whiskey with wine would be the second case.
The second case?
Yes.
Okay, so I said take, like shandy. What's shandy made of? Okay, but you can take two liquids and they can... Assume that it doesn't destroy. Assume that it's a good flavour.
Wine is different.
Why?
Because it gets destroyed by adding other liquids.
It's a liquid. It's a liquid.
So you want to say it's the difference between a liquid and a solid? Yes.
Maybe because you lose the chashir of the wine. Normally, if you really add grape into, fruit into a liquid, you say chateau anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe you've lost the chashir of the wine and it becomes like that.
But both cases are wine.
But you said you put chateau in it.
If you take wine and you put too much water in, anything else, it doesn't become.
Right. Okay.
Means that's one certain amount of wine to be able to make the world better.
But why honey and nuts and stuff?
So why in the first case?
Because the first case is solid.
So what?
What? No, it's all mixed together. At the end of the day, you're only seeing the difference. Oh, on our both sides, it's worth the struggle. In the first case, think about it like this. In the first case, what are the other ingredients? What's the function of the other ingredients in the first case? To enhance the wine. They're all coming to bring out the full flavour of the wine. So it's clear that you want the wine. You prefer your wine with a fuller, more beautiful taste. And the honey and the spices are all coming to enhance and bring out that full, beautiful, blossomy wine. So you know what you want. Wine is the ick. It doesn't make a difference what the roiv is. I don't need to look at roiv anymore. I know what the ick is. I want my wine, and this is helping my wine. In the second case, what's the function of the soft drink doing?
Diluting.
Right, so what do I want the taste of? Do I want the taste of the wine? Yeah. Not entirely. Do I want the taste of the soft drink? Not entirely. In this case, I want the new concoction that is created. It's not that the soft drinks are bringing out the flavor of the wine, but they're coming to enhance the wine. No, it's creating a new entity, a new food. And therefore, how am I going to identify this food? I can't say it's wine. I can't say it's shahakol. Therefore, I'll go after the majority. Okay?
If you put some wine in the cake, in the dough, then you say shahakol.
No. We're building up, okay? First, I just want to introduce this concept. Because this concept, I promise you, is going to lay the way now for many, many ikavatov questions. But you have to get this yisoid, clear. Again, the yisoid is... that when a food is coming to enhance another food, and it's clear that that's what you want, that's the majority. Don't even get sidetracked on what ick is. Whereas if one isn't coming to be mitapel to the other one, they're both working together to create a new food, and I want both of them, so then I have to go to the majority. Okay, let's apply this rule. The best way to learn ick of a tofel is to introduce new cases. Each case brings out a new halacha. Okay, so the most... confusing for many of us is the famous chocolate-covered raisin. Inside we have the raisin, which is eight, right? And we have the shahakol, the chocolate. Assume the chocolate is shahakol for the moment, right? We have the shahakol on the outside. So what would you say? Okay, apply the rule that we just learned. Apply the yisoid to this case. What would you say? What broth would you make on a chocolate-covered raisin? So what is the ikar? That's what I'm asking you. So hands up if you say it's a chocolate, shahakol. So hands up, you say it's the heart eight. That's what you prefer. That's what you prefer. You prefer the raisin. We have a raisin man over here. You prefer the chocolate, so you make a charcoal. What would you prefer? So we developed the Tolai Brocha scan. It's actually trying to dissect and scan the chocolate raisin now. I'll put you out of your misery. It's going to explode. I'll save the sound effect. But basically, it depends, right? This guy who this morning didn't have a kippah until he put it in a Photoshop, he dreams about chocolate, like you, sir. Therefore, what bracha would he make? Does it make a difference what's the majority? No, because he loves chocolate. It's just he prefers his chocolate with a raisin tinge to it. So he makes a charcoal, always. This guy, right, he dreams about raisins. So he makes a... But if you're eight, again... It doesn't make a difference what the majority, because he knows what he wants. He loves chocolate, because he prefers his chocolate with a chocolate flavor to it. Whereas this guy, all the way from Asia, he dreams about chocolate-covered raisins. He doesn't want chocolate with a raisin flavor. He doesn't want raisin with a chocolate flavor. He wants chocolate-covered raisins. He wants a unique blend that is created when we put the fruits together. What bracha would he make?
Majority.
The majority. So the amazing, amazing thing. You can have three people, right, having three different halachas. This is the way, the mahalach that I'm teaching today, is the way that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach taught, and the way that Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz, my Rebbe, and the Nossi of my organization teaches me to teach. Just, you should know there are others who argue. Rav Moshe Bordner, Rav Bodner says in this middle case, you'd split it up and make two brothers, but to keep things straightforward. Okay, we're going with Rav Shlomo Zalman. Halach l'maisa, you ask, or I still ask the poskim here in London, but the way I teach it is, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that in the middle case where you want both, you go after the majority. And it comes out so clearly when you learn Reish Beis in those two cases, in the Mishnah Berurah there, it comes out really clear. I'm going to ask questions to the end, because I want to make sure we finish on time. So, and by the way, more than that different people can...
What does the middle guy do?
He goes after the majority. That was case number two of the Ramah, where we had the wine and we had the soft drinks.
Is he going to make an al ha'ez? Is a laugh
problem? That's a whole... Let's just keep on going. So more than the fact that you can have different people making different brachas, you yourself, this is the real chiddush, you yourself, depending on your mood, get this, can make different brachas. You wake up in the morning, you want to get off to a healthy start. So you look for some healthy raisins. The only raisins you find lying around the house happen to have chocolate around them. So what can you do? You eat them, you make eight. In the evening, you want to wind down the day with some tasty chocolate. What can you do? The only chocolate you find happens to have raisins stuck in the middle, you make a shock. You see, you yourself, depending on your mood, can have, and it's very important people realize that, because many times you see people quoting, you know, from the Luach or Brachos, and they say, Krembe was this and that. You have to realize, always when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's subjective, it always depends on what you want. You can have two people eating the same soup with croutons, and for the kid, he loves croutons, and it's just an excuse. His mother doesn't let him have croutons by itself, so he has to have the soup to have the croutons. He can make them his own soup. Whereas for adults, the croutons just, you know, coming in. Okay, good. So you get this. So let's keep going. As I said, there's many, many halachas, and each case introduces a new rule. Apply what you have learned from the chocolate raisin now, my friends, to what they call in America, or in Israel actually, botnim amerikaim, American peanuts. My American friends tell me they don't even get this stuff in America. I'm not sure why the Israelis call it American peanuts, but it doesn't make a difference what you call it. The point is, we have a crunchy shell on the outside, which is made from wheat and mezonos. Inside we have a peanut. Everyone knows, right? All nuts are eyes, except for
peanuts.
Endo nuts. Have to get it on in, sorry. Getting ready for Hanukkah. You know they already sell donuts in Israel now? It's an incredible thing. Every year gets earlier. Okay, so apply what you have learned to this American peanuts. Okay, again, we have the mezonos on the outside. We have the adoma on the inside. What bracha would you make?
Adoma.
Adoma? It depends. So let's go through it. If you want the peanut, it's... If you want the crunchy bar. And now, this is the chiddush, if you want both... So according to what we've learned, I want you to say that if you want both, you'd go after the majority. Here we have our first exception, right? Every good rule has an exception, and that is where one of the two foods is a mezonos. A real mezonos, not rice, which we make a mezonos, but it's not one of the chamisha minim. A real mezonos from one of the five minim. So, mezonos wins the day, and you'd make a mezonos.
Even if it's unrecognizable mezonos.
What?
Even if it's unrecognizable mezonos.
Yeah. So apply that to the schnitzel, the famous breadcrumb covered schnitzel. What bracha would you make? Shahakol. Even though I just told you the mezonos is very choshev.
In this case, it's very good.
Brilliant! What's your name?
Me.
Chesed. I remember you from Sasev, right?
Oh.
Fine. So, free DVD. Now, over here, Cheskel said it right. You make a shahakol. Even though I said that mezonos has chashivas, but that's only when you want both. When you want both, and one of them is a mezonos, then mezonos will work out. We'll win the day. But that's only when you want both. Here, I know what I want. I'm not getting sidetracked by the crunchy breadcrumbs. I know I want the schnitzel. I sat down to eat my chicken. Therefore, it's clearly you know what you want. Time is against us. There's many, many cases to talk about. The gefilte fish and delicious cakes with thick bottoms and thin whatever, and they're cooked together, not cooked together. I just want to conclude with, to be continued, right, Dudi? This is just part one, just beginning. So, just want to conclude with a beautiful Maharal about brachas. And that is, the Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, it's forbidden to enjoy, to benefit from this world without a blessing. Somebody who does benefit from this world without a blessing, ki'ilu, sorry, ma, is he transgressed the issa of me'ila, right? And the question is, what is me'ila, first of all? Right, when somebody uses kochik, something from the base of me'ila, something kodesh, and uses it for his own mundane activities, if the Kohen were to take a vessel and use it to brush his hair or something, he would be transgressed the issa of Me'ila. Okay, using holy items for his own mundane activities. And the Gemara tells us that if you eat your apple without a bracha, you have transgressed the issa of Me'ila. And I ask you, what is the connection between Me'ila, which seems a very, you know, strict and severe prohibition, what's that going to do with my apple? What's holy about my apple? And the Gemara, the Maharal, explains as follows. And he says, everything that God created in this world was created for His glory. If you took the time to analyze that apple, the genius, the design went into it, the color scheme, how everything tastes good, how it's full of nutrients, how when it's ripe it changes color, how it falls off the tree just at the right time. If you were to sit down and contemplate the genius that went into the creation of one apple, you would hear loud and clear that apple is crying out, I am living proof that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there is a God who created me. It's so blatantly obvious. How can it be any other way when you look at Niflo Sabayu? Now, when you eat that apple, what have you done? You have stripped the world of that Kedusha. You have taken something which is crying out, you've taken a Bria that was crying out, Kovet Shemayim, and you've consumed it. You've ripped the world of Kedusha. And that's why it's Ma'al. Now what happens when you make the bracha? How does that take it away? Says the Maharal, it's like a pigeon. What you're doing when you make a bracha is you replenishing that Kedusha with your own Kedusha, with your own statement. Until now the apple was crying out for all who bothered to take the time to contemplate it. Look, I am Eidus of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm taking that, but in its place I'm putting another Eidus, and I'm saying Baruch Atah Hashem, loud and clear for all to hear. I recognize that you alone are the source of blessing. You created this apple. Thank you all for your time. I ask if everybody can just fill in a feedback form, and there's a few free CDs for those who come up and get them. Thank you very much.